Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're continuing our series on marriage from a retreat that I did for Church of the Apostles in Atlanta, Georgia. I hope that you're being encouraged. If you didn't hear the first episodes, you want to go back on the website and listen. Today's message has to do with one of the most important things, not only in marriage, but in life: understanding the difference between forgiveness and trust. I hope that God will use it to change your life.
Years and years ago, when I was in seminary, we were in New England. I was at Gordon-Conwell, and there are not many days when the ocean up there is tolerably warm. That was a shock for me because I'd never been to the beach except in the south until I went north to visit relatives and then ended up going to school there. And I had discovered by the time I was in seminary that you don't, generally speaking, you don't want to get in the ocean up there unless you're in a wetsuit. So we found a day that was exceptionally warm. And when we went to Wingersheek Beach up north of Boston, there was this long, pretty flat section of sand, and the water had come in and kind of warmed up in the sun. And it was delightful. It almost felt like the South. My wife had only been in the South. I'd had 2 years of college up there and then gone down, married her, and brought her back up north. And she thought of the ocean as being a place filled with danger. I didn't get that. So I was trying to persuade her to go with me further into the deep at Wingersheek Beach. And she was saying, "I don't want to go any further out." I was up to, you know, pretty much my chest. And I'm saying, "Come on." So the beach is back there. Susan is about as far, really, as she is right now, the back of the room. And I'm saying, "Come on, come on." And she's like, "No, I don't want to go." I said, "Honey, there are no jellyfish. There's not anything to be afraid of. Just, you know, no stingrays. Just come on out." And all of a sudden, my last words to her before the incident was, I said, "Don't be a ninny." No, stupid, 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 stupid. Stupid. I don't claim to be smart. I just claim to believe the Bible. The Bible never authorizes any man to say to any woman, "Don't be a ninny." But I said that to her. And her response was, "Jim, look." And I turned and looked, and there was a school of sharks. All of them really needing orthodonture, if you know what I mean. Their teeth were very sharp and jagged and showing, okay? I mean, I guess you could say it was an overbite, but, you know, they were all looking horribly intimidating to me. Now, I'm not an expert on sharks. So I looked at these sharks, and it was a school of them swimming directly toward me. And of course, my first thought was, "I've got to protect Susan." No, that was not my first thought. I prayed a very short and very sincere prayer. I said, "God help!" And I dove into the water, and I began swimming as hard as I could toward shore. I was waiting at any moment for vice-like jaw to grab hold of one of my legs. Never happened. The sharks were probably harmless, but I didn't know that. I'm just swimming for shore, and swimming for shore, and swimming for shore. And I heard a voice from above the waves saying, Jim, try walking. And I raised up, and Susan was about halfway back to shore, and I was probably about where I started. I'm not a great swimmer. I later learned why. The reason is I get the upper part of the body right, but when I kick, I pull myself backwards. A Red Cross instructor at the YMCA in Beverly, Massachusetts, when we took swimming classes together while I was in seminary, she had everybody get in the pool and try and swim from one side to the other. And I came in about the middle of the pack. I was the only guy in the class. It was intermediate swimming. I couldn't bring myself to sign up for beginners. So anyway, I was in the middle of the pack. I already had a life-saving badge at this point, okay? Because I had taken life-saving. I had the little requirement from Boy Scouts. I mean, I could swim. It was just utterly exhausting. But anyway, she said, okay, you know, and I was thinking, well, at least, you know, I was in the middle of the pack. You know, that's something. And she said, okay, now I want you to take the little floaty device there, put it between your ankles, and swim across the pool. I was first. I came in first. Out of that whole group, I even beat Susan, okay? I was first. She said, okay, that's good, that's good. She said, now I want you to put that up on the side and get the kickboard and kick your way across. And so I took the kickboard, I put it out in front of me, and I started kicking. And everybody else moved across the pool. But I was still over there by the side, and she blew her whistle, and she said, stay where you are, stay where you are. Mr. Wood, come out a little bit from the side there. And so I did, and she said, okay, now try that again. Put the board out in front of you and kick so I can see what you're doing. And very, very slowly, I began to go backwards. She said, I've been teaching this for decades. I've never seen anyone do that before. I don't know how you're doing that. I thought, I don't either, but now I know why it's so hard to swim. My upper body and my lower extremities are working against each other. I think there's a sermon illustration there. But my wife knows that when I got to the beach, I said, I'm sorry. I don't remember if I said that was wrong of me, but I should have. And I didn't ask her to forgive me because she was laughing too hard. I could tell I was forgiven, but the respect factor definitely. Yeah, I'm just such a macho guy and such a gentleman and so courageous and other myths I like to believe. How important is forgiveness? Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but think for a moment. How would you feel if God took us literally on that? What would be your level of confidence as far as your forgiveness before God if God's forgiveness of you was proportionate to your forgiveness of others? Fortunately, we know that God doesn't really mean that. Oh, actually, yeah, he does. In fact, there's only one part of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus repeats for emphasis. After he taught them the Lord's Prayer, including forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, he then says, for I tell you the truth, if you do not forgive others, you are not forgiven. Yeah, I mean, really? Yeah, that's what he said. That's what Jesus said. I would submit to you what I said in the previous session. We have an adversary. And I have been praying for this session that God will silence the lies of the enemy and help you to hear and believe what God says about the essential nature of forgiveness. Because the number one stronghold of Satan that I encounter in spiritual warfare when I'm dealing with people who are in bondage to addiction and anger and all manner of things is there is a root of bitterness, there is unforgiveness, and Satan has used that to wreak havoc in their lives. You may say, well, I'm having problems in my relationship with this person, but it's not because I haven't forgiven them. No, but is it because you haven't forgiven this person? Well, you don't know what they did. You don't understand the problem. Okay, I want you to write something down here. Forgiveness is always only based on grace. Forgiveness is always only based on grace.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Look at what Paul writes, and this is God speaking. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. What's the warning there? You need to resolve anger promptly lest you give the devil a foothold. You are giving the devil a foothold in your life when you don't forgive as God commands. Have you ever tried to keep the sun from going down? I have never been able to master that. I can't stop the earth from turning. And the sun's going down. I have a limited opportunity here, just a limited window. That's why you always want to get angry after the sun is down, so that you've got 24 hours to work this out, okay? But the fact is, we're commanded not to carry anger over into the next day. But some folks have been carrying anger over into the next decade. Because that person did something heinous. I've had people who did bad things to me, but nothing compared to what's been done to some of the people I love. And in many ways, I can get more upset about what was done to them than about anything anybody's ever done to me. Because when you love somebody and you see them mistreated, you see them hurt, you get justifiably angry. So what do you do? Forgive. How do you know that? Well, if you keep reading, you come to verse 32. This is in Ephesians 4. Well, I'll go back up to verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Well, how do I do that? Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I'm supposed to forgive others the way that God has forgiven me. Well, how did God forgive me? Well, he watched and saw that I cleaned up my act, straightened things out, made amends, and therefore he said, okay, you deserve to be forgiven. No. God's love is manifested toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We are forgiven on the basis of grace. Huh. So on what basis then am I supposed to forgive other people? On the basis of grace. Well, if it's grace, it means that they don't have to earn it. If it's grace, that means they can't earn it. Now, if a person doesn't repent, they're not going to receive the forgiveness. But that forgiveness is there even for those who do not receive it. Do you remember the father in the story of the prodigal son? I mean, what the son did to him was heinous. It translates out to, Dad, I wish you were already dead. I can't wait for what's coming to me. Give it to me now. And his father gave it to him, and he went off and squandered it in the far country on riotous living. Okay? I mean, this was a shameful thing. And then he comes to his senses, and he heads for home, and somebody says, hey, is that your boy? And he says, better not be. He's not my son. I don't want to see him again. Is that what the father said? No, the father was looking, and he saw, and he ran, and he embraced. And his son had a speech prepared. Didn't get to finish the speech. He got it started, but the father cut him off because the father had already forgiven him. He didn't receive the forgiveness until he came home. But the father wasn't deciding, well, let's see what he has to say for himself. Let's see if he's really sorry. Let's see if he understands the magnitude of what he has done. No. The father's heart toward him was a heart of forgiveness. Our father's heart toward us is a heart of forgiveness. You need to know that about God. You need to know that when he sees you, he's not just tapping his toe and clenching his teeth and saying, you make me sick. If you are in Christ, not only is your sin taken away, but you are robed in the righteousness of Jesus. And when you mess up, your father still loves you. Now, he doesn't love you and therefore decide, it's okay, just keep sinning, I don't care. No, he loves you too much for that. He calls us to holiness. But he calls us to holiness from a heart of love. Why does God hate sin so much? Because God knows what sin does. It destroys. The wages of sin is death. We deal with kids who are experiencing in magnified form the consequences of sin. God hates sin because God loves people. And God calls us to enter into life with him. A life that is not what this world offers. It is a life that is abundant. It is a life that is purposeful. It is a life that is eternal. It is a life of love. Therefore, live a life of love. But that means forgiving people whether they receive it or not. Well, what if the person won't admit what they did wrong? Forgive them. Forgive them. Well, they're not sorry. Well, then they're not going to receive your forgiveness. But you still need to forgive them. I told you, a lot of the kids that we deal with have been sexually abused. If somebody broke into my house while my grandkids are visiting, I got 13 grandkids. If somebody broke into the house and was molesting one of the grandchildren, and I found out about it, am I supposed to forgive them? Absolutely. That's horrible. Absolutely. Absolutely horrible. So if I forgive them, what does that look like? It means that I turn them over to the Lord to deal with, and I turn them over to the police to deal with, and I testify in court to try and make sure that they never have access to be around kids again. Okay? Well, I thought you were supposed to forgive them. I am. Well, if you forgive them, shouldn't you invite them to come and maybe babysit your grandkids so that would be evil on my part? Okay? If I fail to do everything I can to protect not just my grandkids, but the world from that individual, then I'm derelict. But I thought you were supposed to forgive. Okay. What did I ask you to write down? Forgiveness is always only based on grace. Now write this down. Trust is earned. Say it with me, please. Trust is earned. I'll tell you this. Satan is upset right now. Because if you really internalize that and begin to practice that, he has lost a huge advantage in your life. Why does the devil not want you to understand the difference between forgiveness and trust? They are not the same. Why doesn't he want you to know that, to remember that, to practice that? Because if you understand that, it's a whole lot easier to forgive. You see, the reason why so many people feel like they can't forgive is because I can't forgive that person because they're just going to do it all over again. Oh, no. No, 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 no. The best place for a pedophile is 6 feet under the ground. Now, in our culture today, we can't do that. But Jesus did say this. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, he'd be better off with a millstone tied around his neck and drowned in the depths of the sea. Jesus was not recommending aquatic workouts. He said drowned in the sea. So in other words, I'm going with what Jesus said. There are some people who are better off dead than continuing to do what they've been doing. The question is, what are you supposed to do in the cases where you do know what happened, because it happened to you, or it happened to somebody you love? Well, you got to forgive them. So I can forgive somebody and still refuse to trust them? Yeah. How is that possible? Well, forgiveness is always only based on grace. Trust is earned. Trust is earned.
Folks, that's all the time we have for today, but we hope you're enjoying this message, and we hope you'll be sure to tune in next time when, Lord willing, we'll bring you the conclusion. You don't want to miss it. Meanwhile, please pray for us and consider making a contribution that will support us in this ministry. For more information and to access ministry resources, we'd love for you to call us at 866-41-ABIDE, or you can visit our website, pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.